There are some massive changes coming to student loans, and they're going to have an enormous impact on future dentists as well as current dentists. Starting in 2026, student loans are going to be capped at $50,000 per year for professional degrees. If you are a prospective dental student, a current dental student, or a recent graduate with student loans, this is going to have a big impact on you. Currently, the cost to attend dental school, that includes tuition, fees, and your living expenses, is about $80,000 a year if you're going in-state. If you're from out-of-state, it can be $100,000. And if you're going to a private school, sometimes it's $120,000 or more per year. I have spoken recently to dentists who have graduated with more than $600,000 or $700,000 in student loans. With these new limits in place, the maximum amount of federal student loans you're going to be able to take out is $200,000 for graduate school, in addition to about $57,000 that you're able to take out for undergrad. The most recent data I could find from the ADA was for 2024. And in 2024, the average graduate from a dental school had $312,000 in student loans. But understand, that's the average. That means half of the students had more than that. And this doesn't take into account that some of these students were having some of their education funded partially or in full by parents or by outside help. For instance, some students maybe took out loans just to cover tuition, but their parents helped them cover living expenses. But starting in 2026, that number is going to be limited to $200,000 in total to go to dental school. In 2006, the federal government introduced the Grad Plus loan system, whereby professional students like those in dental school were able to get as much money as they needed in order to attend school. Unlike basically any other type of loan, the government said, whatever the school says it costs to go here, plus reasonable living expenses, we will give you loans to cover that amount. And so the schools, they took advantage of this. They said, well, we're going to make our programs more expensive. We're going to add more features. We're going to build fancy campuses and add all sorts of things that aren't necessarily necessary for the education, but things that we want to do. We're going to hire a bunch of people. We're going to expand our programs because we're able to get unlimited funding from the federal government to run these programs. And the students will just take out as much as they need in order to afford our tuition and our expenses. Now, in 2005, before the government introduced Grad Plus loans, there were 56 dental schools. Since then, more and more dental schools have been opening. We went from 56 schools 20 years ago to 77 schools today. That's a huge jump in the number of schools. And the majority of these new schools have been private institutions that are able to charge very, very high amounts for their programs. Because of this, student loans have gotten out of hand. The price for admission into dental schools keeps going up and up, and the federal government has decided to step in and put a limit. Currently, there are almost no dental schools where cost of attendance is less than $200,000, but somehow the entire system is going to be run within the next few years with only $200,000 per student available. This is going to have huge implications on students wanting to become dentists and on the current dental industry and the amount of dentists that are available. So what options are dental students going to have? First off, those who are lucky enough to have their parents pay for their education, it's fine. Their parents are going to pay for their education, and it's not going to make a difference for them. But those who are not fortunate enough to have parents that are able to cover their cost of attendance are going to have some issues. Some students might be able to get scholarships from the military or the NHCS, but those are limited. You know, some states might offer some scholarships if you're willing to work in a rural community for a certain amount of time. But most students are really only going to have two options. Either number one, they just don't go to dental school, or number two, they're going to have to take out private student loans to cover anything that the federal student loans are not covering. And at some schools, that could be as much as $300,000 or $400,000 over the $200,000 limit that's set by the government. The question remains, are dental students actually even going to be able to get loans for such a high amount? When I was in dental school, I was able to receive Grad Plus loans, and so that was able to cover my education. However, my wife, who was in school at the same time I was not able to receive Grad Plus loans for an undergrad program. And so we did take out $20,000 in private student loans. And at the time, when we applied for those private student loans, we were not able to get accepted just for $20,000 without having the loan co-signed by my parents. Luckily, I was in a situation where my parents were able to co-sign that loan, and it was a relatively small amount, $20,000, in comparison to these loans that some students are going to have to ask their parents to co-sign $400,000 loans. A lot of people are just not going to be in a situation where they're able to do that. Even if these students are able to take out the loans that they need through private funding in order to cover the cost of dental education, well, now, in addition to having $200,000 in their government-backed student loans, they might have an additional $300,000 to $400,000 in private loans when they graduate from school. Private loans do not have the same type of securities and affordances that are given to you by federal student loans. Let's say you decide you want to pursue public student loan forgiveness. Maybe you work at a public health clinic or a school. If you have federally backed student loans, those will be forgiven based on PSLF after 10 years. If you have private student loans, there's nothing you can do about that. You have to pay those back. You are not getting those forgiven by joining the military or doing PSLF. Another example is those who decide to switch careers. They go into dentistry and for whatever reason decide they don't want to continue being a dentist and want to go into another field. Right now, with federal student loans, you can switch to an income-based repayment and know that your student loans are never going to be over 10% of your income. If you're taking out $500,000 in student loans, your monthly payments are going to be $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 per month. Yes, if you are a dentist working at a private office, you own your own practice, you're going to be able to afford those payments. But if for whatever reason you decide not to go that route, you might have a very, very difficult time paying back those student loans. When you are on the government federally backed student loans, you have options to where you can do income-based repayment and cap those payments based on your income. With private student loans, you are not going to have that option. And as a student going into school, you might think it's not that big of a deal. I'm going to be making so much money as a dentist. Not everyone figures it out. I help dentists buy dental practices, and oftentimes the clients that I work with end up having incomes of $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 a year after working with me, which is great. That's what I try to help dentists do. Not everyone wants to be a practice owner and wants to be generating that kind of income. And so for those dentists who go into this education and decide they want to work at a public health clinic or go into the military, those types of things, it's just not going to be an option anymore because you're not going to be able to afford it because of your student loans. The other thing that's going to be a big issue is if you are the type of dentist that wants to buy a practice, when you get out of school, my advice to dentists right now, put your student loans on income-based repayment. Payments are going to be calculated based upon what your income was in the previous year if you haven't yet filed your taxes for this year. And so when you were in dental school, your income was probably zero or very low. So your student loans are probably going to be zero or very low. So you can have $0 loan payments for at least the first year, if not more, out of school, which is a perfect time to take the money that you would be putting into student loans and put that into a savings account. Save that money up so that you have some liquidity and potentially a down payment if you need to buy some real estate so that you can buy a dental practice. Once you have saved up $50,000 to $100,000 and you've worked for about a year, you're now going to be eligible to get a loan to buy a dental practice. You can go from making $200,000 to $300,000 as an associate to making $500,000 to $700,000 as an owner if you are willing to save up that $50,000 to $100,000 that first year out of school. But if dentists begin graduating with private student loans that don't give them those same type of affordances as the federal student loans, it might become a lot more difficult to save up the money required to buy a practice. Also, when you go to a bank and you ask for a loan, they're going to calculate what your monthly payments are on all of your debt, student loans, etc. When you have income-based repayment with your federal student loans, they're able to calculate that number a lot lower, which means you are now eligible for a much larger loan from the bank. If, on the other hand, you have private student loans that do not allow you to have income-based repayment and the other affordances for federal student loans, you can then run into a problem where you're not eligible to take out as large of a loan, and you might not be able to buy as big of a practice, or you might not be able to buy a practice at all. Now, if you are a current dentist, you might be saying, well, this doesn't affect me. I'm not a student anymore. I don't care about student loans. This does affect you and potentially will affect you a lot because there's a good chance that schools, especially the more recent ones that are charging the higher fees, private schools that are not backed by states, there's a chance that some of these schools are going to be going out of business. If you are currently a dentist, that's not necessarily a bad thing because if schools are going out of business, that means you are likely going to have less competition, at least less than you otherwise would have if those schools kept pumping out these new graduates. Another thing to consider is that graduates going into the future are going to be graduating with higher student loan balances, and they're not going to be federally backed. And so they're going to be stuck with these private student loan payments, which might keep them from being able to save up money and buy into practices. And so if you are currently working as a dentist, now is an incredible time to buy a practice yourself, grow it up to the point that you can hire an associate, and then you can hire some of these associates that are out of school that are unable to afford to buy a practice to come and work at your office. And then not only are you making the money from your production, but now you are making money from the production of someone else. Listen, it's not fair. I'm not saying it's fair, but if you are in this situation right now where you are financially able to buy a practice, you should be buying the biggest practice you can find and planning to hire some associates that are going to be graduating from school over the next 10 years to come and work for you, because it's going to be an amazing opportunity where these students are not going to be able to buy practices. And so they are going to be stuck working as an associate for 4 or 5 years before they saved up enough money to buy in. So that's 4 years potentially where you could have that associate working at your office, making money for you. It's not uncommon to hire an associate. The associate might produce $1 million. You pay them $300,000. They have $300,000 expenses. So you just generated $200,000 to $300,000 by having an associate working at your office, which is a relatively passive income for you. Yeah, there is some work involved in maintaining the office, obviously. Now, if you're running a practice where it's just the associate there and you're not working there, yes, it can become a lot more expensive and a lot more difficult because there's a lot of managerial overhead. But if you can set up your office to where it's the office you were already going to be working at anyways, but now you have an associate there generating additional income, your overhead's really not going to go up that much because you were already going to have a building. You were already going to have a front desk person. You were already going to be paying for electricity. You were already going to be paying for supplies. Yeah, there might be a few more supplies used, but a lot of your expenses are going to be shared. And so this can be very, very, very profitable. I've seen some dentists who the amount of production that they're doing, if they were working by themselves, they would probably be making maybe $300,000 or $400,000 a year. But because they have an associate, maybe two associates working for them, due to economies of scale and the way that they're able to run their business, they're easily making $1 million, sometimes $1.5 million a year, taking advantage of these students who are willing to come work at these offices. Listen, if you are one of the smart dentists and you're watching this video right now and you understand that by working as an associate, you're getting taken advantage of, well then step out of your job and go buy a practice and be the one in charge. You know, if you don't feel like you want to have associates working for you, you feel like you're taking advantage of other people, I completely understand. I personally wouldn't feel great about hiring an associate. That's part of the reason why I do this YouTube channel and podcasts and help dentists become practice owners, because rather than hire associates, I would just rather help associates become owners of their own practice. I think it's better for the market. I think it's better for the dentist. You're going to live a better life. You're going to have more respect. You're going to have more control. You're going to be making more money. I think the more dentists that own their own practice, the better. Whether you like it or not, there are some dentists who, for whatever reason, they want to work as an associate and they want to give some of their paycheck to someone else. I don't understand it. Most of you watching this video probably don't want to do that. But there are dentists who don't want to be owners. And if you buy a practice, you can hire them to work for you and you can make additional passive income that you wouldn't otherwise be making if you were working by yourself. The DSOs, they're probably super excited about the news that student loans are going to be privatized in a lot of ways going forward, because that just means more associates. That means more people that are going to have to work at Aspen, more people that are going to have to work for Heartland, more people that are going to have to work for Pacific Dental Services. Honestly, I think it's a great time to be an investor in a DSO because the price for dental services is only going to go up based upon the fact that there are probably going to be fewer dentists graduating from school as a result of some of the more expensive schools shutting down. And then you're also going to be in a situation where a lot of dentists aren't able to leave their jobs and become owners because they have private student loan payments for 10 years paying $8,000 a month and they just can't afford to leave their job. They can't afford to take some time off and figure out how to become an owner. When you have federal student loans, if you want to take some time off from your job to figure out which practice to buy, you can just set your student loans to where you don't have to pay them. And so you take some time off work. You don't have any student loan payments. If you've kept your expenses low, you've saved up some money. You can go a few months without working while you're figuring out your business, no problem. But if you have private student loans for $500,000, $600,000, you're not taking time off to figure out how to buy a business. You are stuck at that job. and you are not going to be able to leave until you have those private student loans paid off. If you're a prospective student, now's the time to decide, do you actually want to go to dental school? Is this actually the right thing for you to do? I don't know if it is anymore. I don't know. It's going to be really expensive. I'm not sure if it's worth it. But if you are currently a dentist, maybe you have student loans, but they're federally backed student loans. You're in an incredible situation. Take advantage of it. You have an ability to shape your life in a way in which dentists in the future might not have. Take advantage of it. Now is one of the best times ever to buy a dental practice. A lot of the baby boomer generation have reached retirement age. There are more practices on the market than there ever have been and maybe ever will be going into the future. So right now is a golden opportunity to buy. If you can get into ownership now, the chances of you having an associate in the future are only going to be going up, which is passive income for you. Life is great if you are currently a dentist. Take advantage of the opportunities that you have. Stop wasting your time at that silly associate job. Go out and buy a practice and make it happen.